Dirt roads to rock crawling, two-buck Chuck to screaming eagle, moonshine to 50-year-old single malt. We talk about it all here on Wheelin' Wine and Whiskey with your hosts, Jason and Chris.
Welcome to Wheelin' Wine and Whiskey, episode number 19. This is Jason. We are in brand new Studio L.
Studio L.
And hey, Chris is here.
I am here. I'm almost always here.
Yes, you are.
This is the co-host, Chris, talking. And yes, episode 19.
It's Chris. With a glass of wine in his hand, I might add.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, well, it's Wheelin' Wine and whiskey.
Well, I thought you started. How's your new podcast going, Working Wine and Whiskey? Because you started that, right?
I'm working so hard.
Because you don't wheel anymore.
I'm working so hard, I don't have time to record. Sucks. So
look for a Working Wine and Whiskey podcast coming to a podcasting app near you.
Yeah. Perfect. Nice.
Well, you actually did do some wheeling, web wheeling. And some research.
I did.
Okay. Well, let's hear about that. Let's start with that.
So I've made a big decision after I was working in the garage today, digging out the Jeep to get it ready for safety clinic.
You found the Jeep in the garage?
I found a Jeep in the garage. Nice. And, you know, I had to dig it out. It had a few things piled up around it from the home improvement project.
Yeah, it kind of turned into a workbench probably.
Yeah, well, I had paint stacked around it and all that stuff. So anyway, I love my Jeep. I really do. And as all you listeners probably can relate, you know, you build something, you kind of get an emotional attachment to it.
Right.
And I know we've been talking over the last, I don't know, 6 or 7 episodes about a buddy of ours selling his TJ.
It would be perfect.
Thinking of selling his TJ. But I as I mentioned before, I really like the project part of it, the building, the working on my rig.
Right.
So I started researching buying and to really make the Jeep grow up. It has a Dana 44 in the back already.
Okay.
So I put that in
with a locker.
With a locker.
Air locker.
Air ARB.
Yeah.
So I have decided that I'm going to upgrade the front end, which is still the Dana 30, but it's locked up also. So that front end, all you listeners, will be coming up for sale soon.
There you go.
It's got 456 gears and an ARB in it, but it's got stock axle shafts.
So no aftermarket shafts or anything.
No aftermarket shafts. Okay. Still has a center axle disconnect.
What tires were you running? 33s?
33s.
Okay.
So I'm started researching, looking at buying a Dana 44, either a Dynatrac or this G2.
Oh, the G2, yes.
The G2 axle actually has some really nice specs, and the price point's quite good.
Okay.
So looks like I can get it tax, license, and dock fees and all that stuff and shipping for about 45 hundo.
Front axle. Ready to go. Bolt in.
ARB.
With ARB.
ARB,
okay.
For matching gears, so I don't have to dick around with the back end.
Well,
or
right.
The rear end.
Right, right. You don't want to do that.
So, I mean, yeah, it's a significant chunk of dough, but that'll allow me to put 37s on the Jeep.
Yeah, but you got Chris money. That's no big deal.
And it gives me an opportunity to wrench on the vehicle again, which is what I like doing. So, yeah.
So that would be a bolt-in axle.
Yes.
And you've already got an ARB line running up there to the front. So, I mean, that would be maybe brake lines might have to change a little bit. I don't know what kind of brakes are running on that, so you might have to change that, but that's no big deal.
Have to change the brake lines. I'm going to change the lift. I'm going to go to spring over.
Spring over. Okay.
Yeah. So, I'll probably get the Rubicon Express spring over springs.
Okay.
Where they have the eye bolt differently, you know.
Yeah, that's what I'm running on my CJ. They're YJ springs, by the way.
They are?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, I got that. YJ width because
yeah, but they had 2.5 inch.
Exactly, because the old CJ springs were narrow.
Like an inch and a half or something?
I don't know. They were narrow.
Dinky.
Yeah, well, and they were stiff. The Roncho ones were. Rancho. Yeah. Roncho.
Roncho. Well, you know, they used to be a big name, and now they're kind of nothing. It's like Procon.
Well, there's something. Nice. There goes our sponsorship for Roncho and Pro Cup. All right. Well, that's good. We were trying to get Wheelin' Wine and Whiskey to sustain itself, but there goes two just shot down right there.
Anyway, so yeah, I'm moving in the direction that I need to move in to make the Jeep wheelable again on the bigger boy trails.
Okay, and then what? Now tire size is going to go up?
Yeah, 37s.
37.
30s, or 38s, but probably 37s.
Okay, 38's a big...
It's big, well, because you get there a lot wider.
And well, and then, yeah, that's what I got on my heavy. 38 1450s. But, okay, so 37 1250
or something. 50, right.
That would probably be good.
And do B-blocks. Because
yours are kind of narrow on there right now. Yeah, what are those, 33.8s or something?
I don't know what they are. Well, they're kind of look like pizza cutters. They're 285.
Oh, okay, that's why.
Because they're 16-inch wheels.
Right, okay.
So I got the Moab. Those are takeoffs from a 06 Rubicon.
So what about, okay.
Or an 05 Rubicon. But so they, because the bolt pattern is the same.
So you're going to use those same wheels. You're not going to go to beadlocks or anything.
No, I'm going to go to beadlocks.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, no, everything's going. I'm going to sell. Raceline? I don't know. We'll have to talk. You know,
or those the KMC.
Or it is. I don't know.
The Method wheels that Tom just put on the Bronco. Those things are downright sexy.
I don't have Tom money.
Well, nobody does. Not even him anymore. He spent it all on his Bronco.
Yeah. So, but that's kind of the deal. So I'm going to do these two trips. We'll do Hollister, and then I'll go run Slick Rock. Which, by the way, I'm a little freaked because I listened to the.
Oh, you did finally listen to that podcast,
the Snail Trail. Yeah, they talked about it quite a bit. Action going on there, and then on Bay Area SF Baja on Facebook,
yeah.
There was a guy that. I think he was getting bad spotting, but he was in a JK or a JL, and he beat the crap out of his rig.
Was it a video?
Yeah, a video, and he's just like I don't know what he was thinking.
Well, I'll tell
you, line.
That hill is no joke, and I love it because it added an element of challenge to that trail that only the stair steps at the end was the only thing, you know, before. It was a very scenic trail.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It was fun to do. You know, you can go in and out. Have a great time, play on the stair steps and come out. Well, now you got that winch hill in there, and it is a true winch hill now. And then those other two optional obstacles right at the beginning of the trail from Lake Alpine.
Is all on the reroute.
It's all on the reroute, and it was awesome. I can't say enough to the Calaveras Forest Service, everybody that was part of that.
San Joaquin Jeepers.
San Joaquin Jeepers, Jeff Blewett's club and stuff. My God. I mean, not only did they do a killer reroute, killer meaning, you know, to me, much harder and
right.
Just it blew me away when I first saw it. And they did it in a very timely fashion.
Sure.
I mean, they had a limited window to get this thing done, and they got it done. And, you know, we work with that same Forest Service for our Adopt-A-Trail. So I was talking to our Forest Service guy, Lonnie, and I'm like, dude, this is awesome. He goes, yeah, it really came together, and it was great. And, I mean, it really is a, you know, they kind of set a benchmark, if you will, or a nice – is what could really happen if agencies work together – and, you know, cut out some of the BS and just get down to work and get it done.
Sure. No, absolutely.
Anyways, you're going to love it. I'm going to love watching you do it in your Jeep. So
I'm going to do it
in
33s. And if I take the hook, I'm not proud. I'll take the hook.
We're definitely documenting this whole thing. I'm going to bust out every GoPro camera and drone I own.
You still have a drone, right? Mm-hmm. I haven't seen that in a lot while.
Thing scares me to fly, man. That thing's nervous. It's just like throwing $1,000 bill up in the air and hoping it doesn't crash.
Well, that identical type of drone has crashed into my camper once.
It has. It wasn't me, though. It wasn't me. Yeah, yeah. It wasn't my drone, but it was.
Brand new camper. Only had it for like a week.
Yeah.
And somebody crashed a drone into my camper.
It didn't hurt anything.
Anyway, so that's my plan for the build. So 37s, a Dana 44 on the front.
37 beadlocks.
37 beadlocks.
Okay. 44 front.
44 front. The 44 in the back, you know, I'll run it until I break those standard axles, and then I'll put chrome mollies in.
There you go. Okay.
And spring over.
Okay, so fabrication-wise, you're just going to have to flip the spring hangers on the rear up. Yeah, because you're spring under right now.
Oh, you're talking about the perch.
Yeah, the perch.
Yeah,
the spring perch.
We'll grind those off and put new ones on them.
And then
that's going to be the logistical thing about getting it into a shop where I can, because when you set the pinion angle, you need to have the weight on the
correct.
So yeah.
Yeah, well, there's ways of doing that. We know people.
Perfect.
So that's not too bad. And then maybe a shackle adjustment length wise, who knows? See how it sets up.
Well,
yeah,
I might. Yeah, I mean,
I don't know what kind of shackles you got on it right now.
I have beefy shackles on there.
Well, that's good, but I mean, length wise, they may have to change with the spring over.
Oh,
as opposed to spring under.
That's news to me.
Yeah, and right, your drum rear?
Yeah, and I want to convert to discs.
Yeah,
so that's the story there.
Oh,
when I converted to the Dana 44 on the back, that's a Dana 44 from a Canadian Cherokee, a Cherokee with a tow package. So an XJ with a tow package. That's where the Dana 44 came from.
Oh, okay.
So the drum brakes are bigger drum brakes than on than on anything else.
Okay.
So I have to be clear when I go to get parts at the auto parts monkey. You know, I have to say.
So it works. And then is your parking brake an inner drum or what? Activates that drum brake.
Drum brake.
Yeah.
So, and they're functional, but they need to be adjusted.
Yeah.
But I would like to convert to disc brakes. That's the way to go, especially when you put bigger rolling mass.
Yeah.
On
well, that was part of my. But the front is 70%, 75% of your braking.
Yeah.
Is on the front, anyways, and you got disc up front.
Yep.
So. Well, and you only wheel like 3 or 4 times a year, so you'll be fine.
Well, we'll be wheeling more.
Okay, let's see. Let's make it happen.
I'm going to do a
Rubicon.
King of the Hammers in it. I'm going to run the stock.
Are you bringing you bring it? Dude, that would be awesome. I won't be your right seat, but I will support you all the way through.
I don't need a damn right seat. I'm just going to drive. I'm going to have my wine.
You're going to Iron Man.
Boda bag.
Perfect. Camelback full of wine. Get out there on the start line.
To hell with it.
Pumping your fist.
What's that race up in Oregon you keep talking about?
The Gambler.
The
500.
Gambler. Yeah, you say, let's just run your
Jeep.
Yeah,
that would be more suited a race for us there. Oh, I would do that. Okay. I have no desire to run King of the Hammers. No, you never should drink and drive,
oh,
Chris.
Oh, that's true. You're right.
No. Save that for the campfire.
Okay.
After the race.
Correct. Young
celebratory, celebratory times, but not during the race.
So that's my story.
Well, okay, so it's good. I still don't agree with it, but, you know, I get where you're coming from. I'm picking up what you're putting down. You don't want to get rid of your rig, which I can totally understand because I wouldn't get rid of either of my rigs now. That should suffice. I mean, really, Fordyce is the one trail that you could still do. But you would, you know, the clearance is what's going to get you in. And the smaller axles, you have more of a tendency to break on a trail like that. Can
but
you
I'm
make
not,
it through?
I'm not pushing tons of horsepower. That's
no, and that's the other thing. And you're a good driver. You pick good lines and you're not heavy on the right foot. You know, so that's good. But you got a lot more. You probably got 10 times the amount of horsepower of those Toyotas out there that Snail Trail's running.
Sure.
So,
well, definitely
you know.
More torque.
Definitely more torque.
So I am running the 6-cylinder 4-liter.
I know. That's a good motor. I'm telling you, that's one of the best engines for off-roading. It's a little torque monster. They run great.
Fuel injected.
Oh, yeah.
Bulletproof.
Yep.
I mean, I've got 100.
The only problem with those engines is what? Leaking oil out the valve cover.
I don't have
I know, but some people, that's the only problem I've heard of with those engines. They have valve cover leak, and they got special gaskets now and solves all that. But... or valve cover.
I don't
but,
have any oil on the engine, so it doesn't
well, leave. Perfect. That's you. Yeah. What was that one oil that they that one ad on TV where they dump the oil in and run it, and then they totally drain the oil and run the engine.
Slick 50.
Slick 50. Good old Slick 50.
Didn't they do that on an airplane?
I should try
it's like,
that.
Oh, there you go. That's a guy
I
with big balls. That
because...
guy's got balls the size of freaking, I don't know what. I'm going to drain the oil out of my airplane
and go fly it. Yeah, I don't know if that's big balls or just being really stupid, but that's right. Good old Slick 50.
Woohoo!
Maybe I need that in the buggy because I've been running some extreme angles here. And
well, you've got that system.
I need to put a dry sump in there, but that's not happening because I don't have Chris money right now. So
right.
But, okay, so that's cool. So I'm glad you got a plan. I'm excited
plan,
for
man.
You. I'm excited to see you on the trail here next weekend
I don't know
at
how
the
I'm gonna pay
safety
for
clinic.
It, yeah.
Well, whatever. You'll find. You just dig up a managed jar or something, you know, in the backyard.
Borrow your credit card.
Yeah, good luck. It's like maxed out. I'm getting, stuff in the mail. Hey. Why don't you refinance to pay off some of your debt?
People sitting down in front of your house all hours of the day and night.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Collectors.
Bill collectors. No. Nice. Luckily, I don't have bill collectors knocking on my door. That's one thing. I've always paid my bills.
I had a bill collector call, I don't know how many years ago. We were in our old house. We were debt-free, but we had a, other than the house payment, we had a, they called about some dental bill for my wife.
No.
I think it was the dentist. I don't know what it was about, but it was like, I got so mad. I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, it's like, I just said, where's my credit? You take credit cards? Because I mean, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
And that could be my rant. But anyway, I was like,
are we going into the rant right now?
No. Oh, okay. No. But I just, yeah, bill collectors are so smarmy, you know? And it had to do, so the dentist, I got to remember all the details on it, but I think it has something to do with our insurance, we changed jobs. Janine changed, one of us changed jobs.
Okay.
And they didn't, right when she did the procedure, they didn't file it.
Okay.
With the insurance company. Oh, so
it got lost in the mix.
And then like a year later, they went to collect on it and the insurance company denied it because she was no longer covered. And they said, well, to hell with it. We're going to go to collections with it. I'm like, it's your fault, not ours.
Right. Yeah.
It was bullshit.
Well, anyway, there you go. I know.
Okay. So anyway, that's like my story. I'm sticking to it. I'll figure out how I'm going to pay for this thing.
You got a plan.
I got a plan, man.
Because a failure to plan is a plan sure to fail, right?
Absolutely.
So you got a plan. I like the plan.
And you're going to be helping me with this, too.
Oh, great. In my spare time.
Yeah, well, you know.
I will help facilitate. How about that? I will wave the magic wand and make things happen.
Perfect.
The wheeling wine and whiskey wand.
I have access to production welders and all that great stuff.
Yeah, no, so. You know people.
I know people.
Your son's a welder.
He is.
Welds pretty good. He can make metal stick together.
I don't know.
Would you trust your son's welds on your Jeep? That's a good question right there. Am I putting you on the spot?
No, I don't know. Well, my old mechanic at Spring Valley welded the perches on my current 44.
Spring Valley, where Freedom Whiskey's from?
Freedom Whiskey. Yeah, no, this is a mechanic, not Pete and not Rich. It was, I think his name was Juan. But he was a certified. He was good.
Yeah, certified welder.
Yeah,
we know some certified welders.
We do. So we'll make it happen.
It will happen.
Two trips.
Okay.
So clinic.
Okay.
And then Slick Rock and Deer Valley.
Okay.
And then it goes under the knife.
Okay. So winter. This is a good winter project.
So no snow wheeling, or if I'm snow wheeling.
Well, you could be snow wheeling because I mean, typically, you know, hopefully we get some snow in November, but typically in California here, we're not seeing our heavy snows until January and February. Right. So,
well, my biggest concern, and it's always been, is figuring out the steering on the because I'm going to have to go to a hydro boost. That's going to cost a little bit of dough.
A ram assist.
Ram assist, not hydro boost. Sorry, ram assist.
Well, you know where to go for that. How?
Yeah. How?
How?
How? What?
How?
What?
Who's on first?
All right, enough of that.
Okay, well, there you go. That sounds like an expensive endeavor.
Well, it's going to cost a few bucks, but it'll be good.
That'll be good, and you still got your Jeep, and then
yes, sir.
Off she goes.
I didn't want to move the ham radio. That's what it was.
Oh, okay, that's a good reason. Tyler will buy into that.
Sure. Well, he doesn't even have a ham radio right now.
Poor guy doesn't even have a ham radio right now. Well, he has to borrow a handheld.
It's not my ham radio. What do you have anything you want to talk about?
Oh, I got lots to talk about. You know,
tell
Chris
us.
Here, just sitting back, enjoying this wine you got going right now.
Hey, man.
This was kind of a bonus. It's nice being at your studio for a change to drink some of your alcohol.
Well, that means I don't have to drive home.
Well, that's true. You do have that for you.
So
I'm drinking early so I can sober up and make the safe drive home.
So Studio L, just so you know, everybody, listeners out there, is in the backyard of all the wineries of the city of Livermore. That's one of the reasons I like to live in this town.
Yes. I was hoping to get over here earlier today so we could visit a couple of those, but that wasn't in the cards. But
no.
It's close enough. You know, it's like normally a 45-minute drive from my house, but tonight it was almost an hour because of all the Priuses out on the road.
Did you have problems with Priuses?
I did. I had a Prius in front of me. I was in the middle lane. I had a Prius in front of me that had a dented bumper and hatch in the back. So
that,
obviously
that might be the one that crashed into that tanker truck at Highway.
Yeah, 50. They obviously. Oh, geez, that was terrible. Then I had a Prius to the left of me, just kind of in my mirror, and then I looked back on the right passenger mirror, and two cars back was a Prius. So they were surrounding me.
They know you.
My F-350 pickup.
So I think somebody tagged your truck, and it's like it probably has like invisible ink on it that says this is a Wheeling Wine and Whiskey guy.
Yeah, well, that's fine, but that was one thing I missed with my old truck. I had the Banks kit on it, and then I had the Bully Dog.
Oh, so
chip.
You could roll coal.
I could roll coal, man. I could crank that thing up to 100 plus horsepower boost.
Uh-huh.
And it was stick shift, so you could just really just bog it and load that thing up with a bunch of raw fuel.
Oh, good.
And go and just I called it Prius smoke screen. You know, just black, just bellow out black smoke.
So if I see a
awesome.
Prius that's covered in soot, I know Jason's.
Yeah,
there.
That was it. That was my old truck. The new truck, I can't even get to smoke at all.
These new trucks don't smoke.
Deaf stuff and everything else. Anyways, that's
there's
a whole
no
other
smoke
deal.
Zone.
I do love the truck though. It's very comfortable. So let's do a little Ultra 4 here since we had such a trouble last podcast trying to get
right.
the results.
Where were they racing this week?
Ridgecrest.
Sweet.
Which is down there by Randsburg in Southern California. So we had our
Mojave
buddies
Desert,
down there.
Right? Mojave?
Well, it's not. It's near there, but it's not. No. You're going to have to look at a map to see. But our friends Bill and John were in car UTV.
Right, 4900 class.
Yep, 4950 was their car. I was getting updates left and right last night that they're supposed to go out and qualify.
Right.
Well, I guess they changed the course partway.
Why?
Before things, like they released the course map a couple days ago, and then they ended up having to change it. I don't know. I've heard various reasons. It was because of the Volkswagen Bugs and Stuff class that they had running down there as well.
There were some pretty stock Bugs. There was one stock Bug they had on the TV for quite a while.
Yeah,
this morning.
And then you know, the Buggies and stuff down there.
Like Herbie the Love Bug. Bugs.
Maybe it was Herbie. So I don't know, so they had those classes running and then, anyways, they were supposed to qualify, and I guess they waited, and it was like 109 down there yesterday. Buck 09 in the desert, in your race suit.
No AC.
No AC. You're suited up. You're anxious because you're getting ready to qualify for the race, and all these different classes of vehicles were in line to qualify, and they didn't get to qualify.
I know. I'd burn all my propane in my camper and in the AC.
Oh, yeah. Well, they were in their car suited up, ready to go.
Yikes.
So. I don't know. I haven't talked to him personally, but sounded like a little bit of a shit show down there. And then they kind of got things worked out. So early this morning, the side-by-side Ultra 4 class launched.
Uh-huh.
I know our group had to get out there at 5:30 and be ready to go. And unfortunately, around mile 23, they caught something and endoed.
Yikes.
I guess it was extremely dusty out there.
Yeah, it was.
And, I mean, they put ice, I heard about it, and
yeah, Miranda, my daughter, was watching it with me.
Oh, she was.
She just they were reporting about a car, one of those side-by-sides that rolled over.
Oh, it was on, I don't know, I didn't see it.
They didn't show it.
Oh, okay.
But they talked about it.
Sure, okay, well, it might have been them, and I know Lauren Healy got knocked out before that. He got tagged in the driver's rear by one of the... I don't know if it's a desert class or what they call it. It's the,
the big boys?
The Volkswagen. No, it wasn't the big boys. This was like the Sandrail-esque, VW-esque class.
Oh, I saw those. Yeah, those Sandrails.
Yeah, so they
right.
were running out there. And I guess one of them tagged Healy and took out his driver's rear.
Sorry.
So he's got a DNF on that, but... that's all we know at this point because they're still out there racing or finishing up at this point. So we're waiting for the Ultra 4 website here to update, which could be four or five podcasts from now. We might tell you about it.
Well, it seems to be better than it was last week. I mean, we got that going.
Hey, they did have the live feed, so and oh, Miles true. Miles was commentating again. Oh,
was a, and they had that gal.
Who?
Wasn't there? There was a woman on there.
I didn't watch any of it today.
Well, I don't know what it, but yeah, he's like, oh, you're doing a great job.
Miles is great. And what was cool is there's a new podcast that just launched. By Wyatt Pemberton. It's called The Talent Tank.
Right, right.
And so he's Ultra 4 focused, mm-hmm. and he's friends with Miles, and Miles was his first guest. So that's pretty cool. So it was interesting. I listened to that this week. It dropped on Monday. So I listened to that, and there was some good stories with Miles. I didn't realize Miles is as wild as, you know, he doesn't come across as this wild and crazy guy, but apparently he is.
No?
Yeah.
Wow.
He has tattooed on his ass, badass. And there's a story behind it.
I hope I don't see that.
Well, no, hopefully I don't see it either. But anyways, so that's just kind of tells you he likes to party.
Well, there it is.
So
we'll see him down at King of the Hammers.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. They kind of, you know, it was good that they did this live event here at Ridgecrest, but they've really tapered back, you know, Miles was saying, and unfortunately... for him, because he would really enjoy doing the live broadcast. Anywho, but that's it. So check out The Talent Tank. Just started out another off-road podcast. This thing's growing.
It is.
I like it. The more the merrier. I have watched our sport grow over the years from simple little four-wheeling trails to, you know, obviously Ultra 4 brought a whole nother element to it. There was you know, Top Truck Challenge before that. So these competitions started, and then of course We Rock and crawling real slow and technical rock climbs that I really enjoy. And then okay, well, let's see how fast we can go over these damn rocks and through the desert with Ultra 4.
It's evolved quite a bit.
It has evolved, and it's amazing. You know, you watch all these different companies pop up now, and just like you're talking about, you know, you've got all these axle options to choose from that are damn near bolt-in for your rig, where years ago, I mean, you were going to a junkyard, you were big borrowing, stealing whatever parts you could get.
Well, everybody was looking for that unicorn axle. I mean, all my research, it's like you want to find this. If you want a Dana 44, you want to find a 78, three-quarter ton Ford.
Yeah, good luck.
Because it's got the high pinion, driver drop.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just.
And if you did find it, the guy probably knew what he had and charged a mint for it, right?
Well, you know, interestingly, kind of going back a little bit, but I went on Craigslist and there's a dude. I thought this was crazy. There's a guy in San Jose that's got,
I'll say,
Rubicon 06 or 05 Rubicon axles, stock Rubicon axles,
okay.
Front and rear, $6,000.
Stock.
Rubicon with the 410s and the stock Rubicon lockers. Yeah,
$6,000. Well, there you go.
I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? I mean, I'm sitting here. Now, I have a Dana 44 with a locker, so but he's like, I'd like to sell them together.
Oh, yeah, you were just going to buy the front.
Yeah. Oh. Goes, but I mean, it needed to be re-geared, so I had to spend money on that.
Is the width the same?
The width is the same.
Oh, okay.
And I'd have to cut all the brackets
off. Oh, yeah.
I mean, it'd be a – so I'd be looking at probably, you know, a locker ARB. I don't know if I can re-gear and use that. Those are low-pressure lockers. I don't know the whole deal on those.
Oh, yeah, we could fix that.
I don't know. Anyway,
it's just a pressure regulator.
I don't know, but $6,000. I thought that was pretty ludicrous. But if you know, find a guy that's selling a Dana 60 Kingpin, they want a shitload of money for those things.
Yeah, that's true.
So anyway, the sport's evolved, like you said. You know, everybody. You know, it's cool. I mean, I like the going slow and technical, and you know, but the racing stuff's exciting to watch. I have no desire to do it, but I definitely want to watch it.
Well, sure. And then, you know, the parts, like we were just saying, have evolved. I mean, good, bad, or indifferent. I mean, you know, it's cool. The basic Craftsman tool set.
Right.
And you can upgrade your rig with quite a bit of bolt-on stuff.
Exactly.
You don't have to be this major fabricator anymore, which, I mean, you know, people are going to argue, you know, built, not bought, whatever. I get it, but... If people in our sport are able to upgrade their rig at a reasonable price and do it in their own garage with reasonable set of tools without having, you know, plasma cutters, mills, lathes, all this crazy stuff, right?
Extreme 4x4, man.
Yeah, I mean, so be it. Whatever it is, the more people we have on our side and participating in the sport,
of course,
it is alive and well, and that's especially I'm for it. But I do respect the guys that build stuff from scratch, and I have seen some ridiculous builds out there, and just shake my head and go, oh my God, I mean, you got so much time involved in just that one little area.
Yeah.
But hats off to you. Love it. And I get it. And I've done it. You know, it's cool. But, you know, to go out and go on the old interweb there and order up some parts, and 3 days later they show up on your front door, and that weekend you're bolting it in with a six pack of beer and your buddies and
pizza, well, and a six pack.
Well, maybe more than a six pack, but yeah, a couple cases of beer, some bourbon.
Well, especially if you've got a TJ or a JK or a JL. Well,
I know these new ones. It's the aftermarket everything's support there.
Is stupid.
Everything.
And that's, you know, so having said that, you know, Jason and I are going to be heading down to SEMA in
SEMA
less than 60 days.
Yes.
And that is
November,
the
first week of November,
the mecca of aftermarket.
So cool. So cool. I'm looking forward to it. We got part of the Snail Trail boys coming with us.
Yes,
Jimmy's,
we do.
Jimmy's committed to it.
That's going to be
Tyler,
awesome.
Tyler's still, I don't know. I don't know what Tyler's doing. Never know what Tyler's doing.
He needs to man up.
He said he never knows what's going on in my brain. I never know what he's doing. See, so
what are you doing?
What are you doing over there? I never know what you're doing.
I don't even know what's going on. You know what? There's certain heads, brains, and minds I don't want to get into. And actually, I know you pretty well. I've known you for 30 years.
That long?
Well, it's been maybe 25 years. I don't know. It's been a while.
I like to have a good time.
Yeah. Just
I'm not here for a long time, but I'm here for the good
just
time.
Just bring good bourbon and good wine, and we're going to party.
So SEMA, we are booked. We are confirmed. Yes, we have our badges being badges. Mailed to badges. We don't need no stinking badges. Yeah, you do. You need badges to get in. But once we're in, baby, we're in.
So yeah, badges, airfare.
Oh, airfare's done too. We got the Southwest low the cattle carrier to take us there.
That's an hour and a half, man.
You got any Southwest drink coupons?
I might.
Ooh, there we go.
I do. Actually, I do. I got to dig them up.
Okay, get them out, because we're going to hit the ground hot there, coming in hot to Las Vegas.
It's a night flight, too.
It is a night flight. Sweet. Was that? Does it have to be dark to drink?
No.
Oh, okay. And then, you know, we may have to get, with your money, we might have to get a limo to take us to our hotel or something.
Or an Uber.
Just in, maybe an Uber Black.
Might be a Prius.
Oh, no, that ain't happening. If an Uber Prius shows up or a Lyft Prius, I ain't getting in. Sorry, not sorry.
Well, then I'll be at the bar before you.
That's fine. I will freaking walk.
Wow.
I will ride
in
a Toyota second gen 4Runner before I'm going to hop in a Prius.
Well, Tyler's not going to be there, so I don't know what to tell you.
There's more than just one, you know, second gen 4Runner.
Jimmy might pick
there.
You up at the airport. I don't know.
Yeah. No, that would be good. Jimmy's talking about driving down and making a trip out of it, and that'd be cool.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of desert between here and Las Vegas.
So we're going to pack our gear down to Vegas.
What gear?
We're going to
podcast gear?
Yeah,
we're
going to record episodes live. Well, I don't know.
Remote.
We'll be
maybe we can do. How can we power up at the trade show floor? We got to pull some power somewhere. How good would that be?
They probably won't let us.
We could pull some people off the aisle and interview them.
We're going to have to research how we're going to do like quick.
Maybe we can get like Odyssey to sponsor us some batteries, and then we'll get an inverter. And we could have that on like a little cart.
We'll strap that to your back.
Yeah. Strap.
Because it ain't going to be strapped on my back.
No, Odyssey batteries are a little heavy. But that would yeah, no. There's outlets all over the place. So we'll figure something out.
We're going
to
try.
Do a recap at the hotel.
Recording. There's ways to do it on our phones. We'll figure this out.
Oh, on the phones?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
You better pull out your propeller hat for this one. I don't know about this.
But yeah, no, we'll figure it out, because I want to be able to record on the
– Okay,
you know,
no, that
talk
is
– Talk to people live from the – not live, but record talking to people on the show floor.
So those of you that haven't been there, the exciting part for us off-roaders is the off-road section has grown immensely over
upstairs
the years.
Upstairs in the South Hall.
And there is, yeah, upstairs. Yeah, I guess it is the South Hall. You can spend all day there.
Oh my
Anybody
God.
And everybody
Candyland.
Part of off-roading. Any of the vendors that you've ever perused on the old interweb are there, and others that you have never heard of are there. There's
things
people.
That you see on YouTube, like Fred yeah. Williams with the Jeep that drove underwater.
Yeah, yeah, it's sitting right there in front
it
of you.
Was, and
you
can, I walked up to, and I saw, oh my God, that's the Jeep with Fred. And then I'm cool. sitting in the Jeep was Fred Williams.
Yeah.
So I started talking to Fred Williams, and it was like, this is totally cool.
Yeah. Ian Johnson's, you know, usually at one of the welding booths, the Esau yep. booth.
We'll
you
post
know,
some pictures of us hanging out with
Yeah, he's cool and approachable. Of course, the late, great Jesse Combs. I hate to say that. Jesus, try me, that kills me. But, yeah, you know, seeing her was always a highlight of the show at the Warren booth.
Made,
she was
made
at the Lincoln welder booth. So she was always easy and approachable to talk to at the show. And then you just have random, I don't know, I'll call them celebrities.
Remember
walking
the
around the show
Gunny?
Floor. Who?
Gunny?
Oh, Gunny was there. Oh, my God. got to meet him. And I literally, like, took a knee, damn near shaking his hand because...
he's so... God rest
another,
his soul.
Another lost, fallen comrade there. But, my God, his scene in that movie... I'm drawing a blank right now.
Not
Come
Full
on.
Metal Jacket.
Yes, Full Metal Jacket. That was hilarious. I mean, yeah. Oh my God. We can't repeat it. Well, yeah, I guess we could. We're an adult podcast here, but you meet him and he was total opposite of his character in that movie. I mean, he was gentle giant, I guess you could call him. But anyways,
he did that mail call too. On,
yeah, that's true.
Discovery Network or whatever it was. But yeah,
so you know, it's just cool. It is a huge, huge event, and the off-road area. I spend a whole day, and the first day I'm
totally.
There, I just devote the whole day to walking up and down the aisles, talking to people. Talking to vendors, you know, it's great. So looking forward to that. Good old SEMA.
Sweet.
2020. No, it's 2019.
So we went last year. We usually go every other year.
We usually go every other year. So we're going 2 years in a row. This is going to be good.
Because of the podcast.
Well, that's true. We're doing it for the people.
We're
the people of the podcast.
For our listeners.
And we appreciate everybody that listens to this podcast because it's been growing. Our grassroots
Absolutely.
Campaign is working, Chris.
Woo.
Instagram, I gotta talk about Graham for a minute here.
Let's do
this,
that.
This has been fun. So I finally posted the picture, the good picture of the vertical, past vertical wheel stand on windshield
on
three, four dice. And of course, got a good response and comments and direct messages and stuff
sure.
from that. And so anyways, I follow, as most off-roaders do that are on the Graham, follow the Beat Not Babied.
I'm not even following
How are you
that?
Not
I got,
following
I
that?
Don't know.
Because you're not a wheeler.
Whoa.
You're working wine and whiskey. So, yes, it is hilarious, some of the stuff they come up with. And so I'm like, I'm going to direct message this guy and, you know, tell him how much I like his deal and introduce our podcast and say, hey, here, by the way, this is some wheeling that I've done here recently on Four
Right.
Ice.
Yeah, no doubt.
I believe his name is Wes. And so he was on his way to pick up a new buggy to him in Salt Lake here recently and, you know, hit me up right back. He goes, cool, man, right on. So hopefully we're going to get him on as a guest here. That'd be awesome. But anyways, he posted that picture and it boosted up our Instagram immensely tenfold.
Right.
Because
he
has 177,000 followers.
Holy moly!
And we're 250 now.
We're
think
we're not worthy.
We're just right around that 250 mark. So, which pales in comparison to most Instagram accounts. But we're making a mark.
For sure.
We're moving in the right direction, at least.
We're at 248.
Oh, 248. So there we go. So that's awesome. So...
Only about 148,000 to catch up.
Yes, right. shout out to Beat Not Babied. If you're not following them on Instagram, the gram, check them out. Highly, highly entertaining. And they offend everybody equally. So
nice.
That's great. What else? Oh, I had to take care of some DMV paperwork today.
Oh, shit. No, we can't talk. DMV is such a downer.
No, but here's the beautiful thing, AAA.
Oh, well, there you go. I'm a member of AAA, too.
I have been a AAA member for a long time. And apparently, here's the little tie-in. This is all going to tie all this back together. Miles, the announcer there for...
Miles!
For Ultra 4, he's a AAA battery, you know, service guy. Gas, battery. He doesn't tow. He doesn't run a tow truck.
That's what he does in his off time?
That's what he does. That's his job. That's his career. And he, you know, he works like 4 days on, 3 days off, 2 days on, 2 days off. I don't know, whatever. One of those fireman schedules. But he works for AAA, which I thought was cool.
And he's a commentator for Ultra 4?
He loves it. And then he, you know, fell into this commentating thing and, you know, the rest is history.
Wow.
But anyway, so I'm like, okay, I got some vehicle transfers to take care of today. And I'm going to go down to AAA now. Mind you, this is a Saturday morning.
Oh, today. You're right. Uh-huh.
And, dude, so good. I walked right in. I had three individual transactions to take care of, DMV transactions.
Jason money.
No, not at all. I went in there and showed him my AAA. Okay, great. Da 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 da. And what do you got? Oh, yep. All your papers worked in order. Literally 10 minutes to take care of three, you know, vehicle changeovers. Uh-huh. And done.
I wish it was that easy for everything.
I know. And
you can't go to AAA for a driver's license.
No, well, that was it. I told you that whole deal, a few podcasts ago about trying to get my real ID, and it went for 4 freaking months before I actually got an ID that's
had a good
valid
ending.
Here. And
had a happy ending.
Well, finally got it, and yeah, happy. I wasn't so happy anyway. Let's not go sideways here. We don't have Lorenzo to keep us in check tonight.
Lorenzo took the weekend off.
Is he vacationing again?
He is.
Where is he? Is he in Mexico? Cabo San Lucas?
He's
or where?
Vacationing.
He's Jake Hayton?
He's Jake Hayton.
Nice. Good for Lorenzo.
I saw a picture he posted up. He was he had the buggy.
Did he? He didn't have my buggy, did he?
Hey, buggy.
Okay.
But there was a lot of police cars behind him. So I wouldn't doubt it.
Lorenzo, that ass gets into so much trouble.
He had his hoof up, you know.
He's giving the one hoof.
The one hoof salute.
Flipping off the 5150.
No, Lorenzo this weekend. We're the remote studio is definitely Lorenzo free.
He kind of stinks up the place a little bit, though.
A little bit.
Yeah.
No, he needs a bath.
He's a little dirty.
So... Anyway, that's SEMA.
Yep, that's SEMA.
Looking really forward to it. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Stay tuned for that one.
And there'll be quite. We'll probably end up. I don't know how many episodes we'll record, but we might stitch together a bunch of episodes or something because we'll have to see.
We'll play
how
it
that
by
goes.
Ear.
We'll play it by ear.
We may have to like do one from a strip club or something.
Ooh, no.
No,
those are bad places.
Kind of fun.
Making it rain.
We can interview some of the girls. So, okay, wait a minute. So, see, Lorenzo needs to keep me in check, damn it.
Lorenzo is not here.
I'm trying to keep myself in check. It's
Lorenzo
tough.
Might make it to SEMA. We'll have to see.
Oh,
beyond
I don't
that,
think that's a good idea. Lorenzo in Vegas? No. Yeah. No, not a good idea.
Chicks dig his ass. It's a drinking show,
that's
folks.
A good one. I'm going to give you, if I had a gong, I'd hit that right now.
So... anyway, we haven't announced our email addresses yet tonight.
No, we usually do that at the end of the show.
I know, but I kind of want to loop
the right
loop,
now.
No, I want to loop back a little bit because we talked about the build. And if anybody has any suggestions comments or ideas, or if you have a Dana 44 you'd love to sell me,
or a 60,
or a 60,
or a 70, or a 14 bolt front.
Yeah.
Let's build this rig. If we're going to build it, let's build it up. But go ahead.
Anybody has stuff they want to give away?
Unimog axle.
That's getting a little crazy.
I saw two Unimog axles on the snail trail Insta story today.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
No shit.
They were going away from the compound of the Snail Trail compound. I don't know what.
Wow.
Got to talk to Jimmy and find out what's happening.
Jimmy let those go, huh?
I don't know.
So Chris's email, my email, because I'm Chris.
You are Chris.
Is Chris still at WheelingWineAndWhiskey.com. Love to hear your comments regarding my plans. And you can also send email to Jason, hate mail, at Jason@WheelingWineAndWhiskey.com.
Yeah, Chris hate mail for not buying that other Jeep.
Well, it is what it is. I like building stuff, man.
Well, I get it. I get it. But you got Legos and stuff to play with
Legos
to build stuff.
Dude, in that cabinet up there, there's probably about 200 million Legos.
Perfect.
If I open that cabinet up,
let's build you a front
axle
out of Legos.
Legos.
Let's build you a Jeep out of Legos. It'll still be better than a Toyota.
What else you have?
Hey, I did get to do something fun today.
What's that?
I drove a, I would call it a supercar.
No.
Sports car.
A McLaren?
No, I've been fortunate to drive a lot of different sports cars over the years, from different acquaintances or whatever. And, if somebody asked me, would you like to drive? I don't turn it down.
Uh-huh.
Cause I love to drive. I'm a gearhead.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never going to pass up the opportunity. So like I had an opportunity to drive a Lambo once.
Oh, how'd that go?
And the owner is like, dude, you got to drive this car. And I'm like, I don't have that kind of insurance money if something goes south. One made me extremely nervous. But I mean, the other part of me is like, I got to do it. I got to do it because how often, you know, when is this opportunity going to present itself again to drive a Lambo?
Oh, I drive the hell out of that.
Oh, and I did. And he wanted me to get on it and shift the gears, paddle shifter, and everything. And it was great. Anyway, so, and I didn't wreck it. It got back in the garage in one piece.
So you had that going for you.
Yeah. It wasn't like Ferris Bueller's Day Off where we had to put it on jack stands and reverse the, try to reverse the odometer.
We're professionals. What?
So a 2017
okay.
Corvette.
Ooh.
Z06 supercharged.
Oh, that probably.
Yeah, it was the C7. Series L2, so there's three different packages there, L1, L2,
like
L3, so it was
like,
the L2.
They look like jet fighters.
It looks like the Batmobile to me, kind of, but beautiful blue, Vista blue.
Nice.
Well, I don't know if it's Vista blue, that's what the Shelby is, but...
is that like the powder? Not
no,
powder.
No, it's a like a deep...
Electric blue? Or
metallic blue.
Okay.
And so... I got in this car today and I'm like, man, nice car. I make fun of, foreign cars and stuff and Toyotas especially, but,
Priuses.
But yeah, and Priuses.
Does Toyota even make a sports car?
Yeah, they do. They got that. Anyways, we're going to get off the rails here,
tell us about the Corvette.
So, I'm a Ford guy through and through, but I don't. You know, hats off to any American car. I mean, even the Dodge Hellcats are pretty freaking nice. I'm going to throw that out there. That's the only Dodge I like. But anyways.
707 horsepower.
Yeah. This thing's got 650 horsepower.
Okay.
And they go, he goes, hey, you want to drive it? I'm all, hell yes. Uh-huh. Hells to the yeah.
Hell to the yeah.
And so I get in it, start it, it sounds great. And I'm like, where the hell's the third pedal? Where's the clutch? There's no freaking clutch. It's an auto.
No, it's not an automatic.
It's got paddle shifters, though.
Oh, okay.
Everything's electronic on these new cars.
Sure.
And so I'm like, okay, getting myself orientated to everything, getting comfortable in there. And then it's got, sport mode, track mode, economy mode.
Psycho mode.
Yeah, so I said, all right, let's just throw it in sport mode. We don't need to go to track mode right out of the gate here.
Why the hell not?
And the owner of the car had the car for about a week. And had to his credit, he had watched a lot of YouTube sports car amateur people getting on it and crashing. So it scared the shit out of him.
Uh-huh.
Because 650 horsepower...
It's a lot.
Is a lot of horsepower at any vehicle. And, you know, Corvette with the independent suspension, it's got that magnetic freaking suspension in it where it just – it hugs the road. I mean
– I've been in several Corvettes, and I feel like my ass is dragging on the ground.
Oh, yeah. So. You are on the freaking pavement. But it feels like a slot car when you're driving thing. I mean, it is like on rails. It handles so freaking well. Mm-hmm. And it had the freaking comp tires on it.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, this thing was badass. He bought it from a guy that knows his cars, and the guy specced out a lot of cool stuff on this car. Anyway, so I get in this thing, start it up, sounds good. I'm like, okay, you know, and take off easy and da-da-da-da-da. He's like, oh, we need gas. So I'm like, okay, let's go get gas. So we're getting gas, checking out the car, and he goes, hey, let's take it on the freeway. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So get on the freeway, and it's middle of the day, Saturday, so traffic's not too bad. And so I held back. I was kind of like in the middle lane and was cruising like at 65, right about 65, 68. And I was letting the car in front of me get further and further away. You know, I was just kind of holding back, and then I just punched it.
Okay.
And we were just busy carrying a conversation. He had no idea what I was doing, you know, because I was just opening up some real estate in front of me.
Is this the first car of this type that he's ever owned?
Yes. Yes. And he is not a gearhead, but he's this is his dream car.
Okay.
And the opportunity presented itself, and he bought it, and hats off to him. So I stabbed it from 65 on the freeway. It's an 8-speed tranny, by the way.
Okay.
And it's got a heads-up display, which is super cool. So it projects your speed, you know, RPM and stuff, all is right on the windshield. You don't even have to look down at the gauges.
That's cool.
And it went from eighth gear down to, like, fourth instantly.
Uh-huh.
And freaking chirped the tires and took off like a bat out of hell.
Wow.
And before I knew it, I was over 100 miles an hour. Instantly. Wow. Instantly.
Woo, woo,
oh,
woo.
Yeah. I was waiting. I'm like, man, knock on wood. Have not been pulled over in a long time. And I was like, this is now I'm going to get a ticket in this stupid car, right? So, anyways, and he is screaming. He's like, what the fuck are you doing? I'm like, well, you got to
show
me
drive
this,
your car. What do you think?
Show you
doing?
What this car can do. So we get off and we circle back. And then I get on this windy road back to my house and hammer down and just to see how this thing will corner. Oh, we were on the clover leaf before that, you know.
You drifted?
No, I damn near did on the clover leaf, though. The thing, you know, I took the first clover leaf at like 45, which doesn't sound fast, but that is pretty fast if you're used to driving a pickup truck.
I have a little interject right here.
Okay, go ahead.
I was with my buddy. You met my buddy Pete at my 50th.
Mm-hmm.
He had a 911 back in the day, and we were out partying one night in San Jose. We were down south of First, and anyway, we were heading back to his place because I left my car. I met him at his place, and he lived over near San Jose Muni.
Okay,
and we were going from 280 to 101 to 880, and the clover leaf there.
Yeah,
and he was hitting it hard. And I said, dude, and the car was starting to drift. He's like, I can't take my foot off the gas right now. If
no.
I do, we're going to lose
no,
it.
No, yeah, you can't. Yeah, exactly.
It was a
That's
Porsche
when it
911.
Catches and then...
And, I mean, he was literally in a four-wheel drift going around that clover
Perfect.
Leaf.
See?
He's a great driver. Don't get me wrong, but
I know,
like,
but
it,
sitting in the passenger seat with no control is rough.
Well, we probably did that clover leaf at 80 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah. I believe it. So, I did the second clover leaf at like 60, and it was – I couldn't believe how well this car just – I mean, it was like a slot car.
Wow.
Just stuck.
That's cool.
So, then I get on the wind. So, I was feeling – you know, I kind of felt the car out. Obviously, I wasn't going to go crazy because it's not my car, and I don't want to deal with all that.
Okay.
You know. Sorry about that guardrail. I just ran down the passenger side of your car.
Gee, but, it's fiberglass. I mean, it's all good.
Oh, yeah. Piece of cave. I don't know. They're carbon fiber now or something.
Was it carbon fiber?
Well, I know the roof is. It's super light. It's got the removable top. But anyways, so I get in the windy section and just go.
Nice.
And this thing is just handling great. It's got the steering. It just feels good. It just felt very, very solid.
You took 5,000 miles off his tires.
Oh, easily took some tread off those tires. But He was yelling at me. What the fuck are you doing? Slow down, bro. I'm like, I'm showing you what this car can do. One, I'm not an excellent driver by any means, but I have driven enough cars and been around sports cars enough to, you know and push the limits a little bit. But yeah, so he's like, holy crap. And I go, and that's about a third of what this car could really do. Oh, so yeah. You need to respect the power. You need to ease into it. I highly recommend taking a class, a driving class.
Oh, yeah. Bob Bondurant.
Yeah. And get comfortable. But, you know, you got to respect this car, because the minute that you stop respecting this horsepower and you get in there nonchalantly and just hammer down, you're going to be wrapped around a freaking telephone pole.
Look at YouTube videos of Corvette.
Well, that's what he did. So it was good. It was good for him. So I brought it back and I was like, okay, safe and sound, no scratches, you know, sorry about a little bit of tire chirp there, but
sticker shock when he has to buy new tires.
Oh, exactly. Woo-hoo. An oil change. It needs an oil change. And I'm like,
is that a dry sump in that thing?
Oh yeah. Dry sump.
It's probably like 12 quarts.
It's 9.5.
Oh, that's it.
9.5. Wow. Badass American muscle, man. That
I love Corvettes.
Impressive.
Absolutely love them.
Impressive.
And I'm getting to the age where I can actually be, you know, afford one. Not afford one, but look
afford
right.
Afford one? Yeah, you should buy a Ford one, like a Shelby or something.
Wow. So, yeah, the Corvette's really known in the country club sect, because they want to make sure that two golf bags fit in the trunk.
Yeah, and you can.
Well, not in the C9-8.
Well, the new one with the it's mid-engines coming out next year, right?
It's out.
What, is it out now? Or it's coming out?
It's out. I think it's out.
Oh, well, I haven't
seen any in the wild.
I know people put money down on them, but I don't think they're out yet.
Okay. Well, okay. But, I mean, the C8 is the newest.
Correct.
One, right? They look C8. Sexy. C7s are sexy, too. I like them. I've ridden in a C7, but I was a passenger.
You weren't offered to get behind the wheel.
But it was a manual.
If you ever, yeah, see, and I like, especially in a sports car, the manual, but I got to say, this automatic was very, very impressive.
Well, my friend John that gave me the ride in the C7, he waited, because they don't have manuals on the lot.
Mm-hmm, right.
You had to order it.
Right.
And he waited and waited and waited. And man, I'll tell you what, that thing, the way it freaking launched, we were on Mission Boulevard in Fremont when it was like, fuck.
So talking about like vehicle features, so this heads up feature was pretty cool, tying into the last podcast, you know. But the parking brake is electrically activated. So you press a button to take off the parking brake, which was odd. And I was asking him if it had adaptive cruise control. He said, no, I don't think so. But it does have cameras on the front, because you got that front splitter that's right. So damn low. And it's got two cameras that point down. So like when you're pulling up to a parking spot and before you hit a curb or a parking, you know, the block or whatever, you can see it, which was pretty cool. And then, of course, it's got a camera in the back.
Right.
So, you know, that's one point where those cameras would come in handy.
Doesn't it have like a teenager key and a valet key so you can like detune the car?
I would imagine, but I don't know. It was push button start. What other technology was in there that was got a killer sound system?
Massaging seats?
No, it doesn't have massaging seats or anything like that.
I'm not buying one.
No, But anyways, That was a fun Saturday afternoon getting to
to
drive that thing and rip around the neighborhood.
Should have loaned him your truck and you could have come out to Livermore and we could have gone wine tasting in a Corvette.
Well, I told him, I said, hey, you got a great Sunday car now. So I said, I'll get my Sunday car. And I said, we'll go out and do some touring.
You guys need to look at my backyard.
The what?
You guys need to come out here for dinner and look at my backyard.
Oh, yeah, we could do that. Yeah.
Sweet. There you
go. Give us a. But anyway, so
that's cool.
So there you go. So what else you got over there? You got something else?
I do.
Of course you do.
We may think it, but Chris is gonna say it.
So.
So.
It's not a C7 Corvette.
All right.
But I'm trying to figure out why every time I go to get a haircut, there are old bald dudes there getting haircuts.
Bald?
Yeah.
Like no hair.
Well, the halo.
So they got side. They got to trim around their ears a little bit.
It's almost every single freaking time I get the haircut. There's an old.
They're in
man.
There for the conversation. It's hard. You go to a real barbershop, right?
No, I don't do that anymore.
Oh, you don't? So where are you going? Like Supercuts?
Yeah, pretty much.
Really?
I think they're perving on the little gal that's working there. I really do.
Nice.
Seriously, dude. I mean, I'd say 4 times out of 5 times I walk in there, there's an old man that's practically bald getting a haircut.
Okay.
And it's just, it takes the longest time for them to get their hair cut. And it's like, dude, seriously, you could do this at home with an electric shear. but instead, you're in my way, taking up my time. Better not be patting her ass. I don't know. It just bothers me. I'm like, I know everybody needs haircuts, but when you're damn near bald, and you're retired, and it's the middle of the fucking day.
Well,
seriously,
I don't know.
There should be an old retired bald guy haircut day.
Well, haircut day. I don't know if I've never seen one at the place where I get my haircut, but.
You're not an old bald guy. I mean, I've got a bald patch in the back.
Do you really?
It's starting to show.
A little yarmulke back there?
No, I don't wear no yarmulke. Oh. Really?
No, I mean, you got like a bald section.
I do. Well, every time they use that mirror, you know, they show, oh, let me show you the back of your
head. I never get to see that. I don't. I just trust the person that's been cutting my hair has been doing it for years, and I just trust them.
Well, you grew up in your neighborhood. I
did.
If I was in the neighborhood I grew up in, you and I wouldn't even know each other.
It's fun because you walk into different places, the deli or the barbershop or whatever. You know, it's like Norm. You know, hey, Norm. I mean, everybody knows your name. It's cool.
Norm Peterson.
We're in a huge, suburb of San Jose, but we are in the foothills, and it's interesting because the people that were born and raised in the East Foothills of San Jose, there's still a lot of us that are still there in generations.
Sure.
You know, 2, 3, 4 generations going on there. And so that's I'm just out of the city far enough that I've got some reprieve because if I was in the city and driving and dealing with all the traffic like I do every day and then living in that, I can't do it.
No.
But at least I get some reprieve in the evening and my neighborhood is great. You know, going to the local haunts and like you say, you see your neighbors and friends and family down there, and you.
Is there a hole in the wall? That's jeez.
Whoa, okay, we're cutting you off. I got no control over here because Lorenzo's not dropping a hoof right here on you.
No hole in the. Did I break my glass?
I don't think so. You didn't spill. That's good. You got that going for you.
That was weird.
Okay. Well,
sound like something. Anyway. So there's like a hole in the wall that, I mean, we kind of getting away from my rant about the barber or the haircuts, but.
I turned it into a local neighborhood thing.
Well, whatever. I mean, it's kind of a mild rant this week.
Very mild rant. I don't even think you cussed.
I did.
Oh, you did?
I think I did. Okay. I'll have to rewind it.
Okay. Check it out.
But it's a, I mean, again, I just, and nothing against the old guys. They're great. I'm sure they have their place, but, seriously, middle of the day when working, or it's towards the end of the work day when people are out and about trying to get home. Dude, when I called you the other day and I told you I was going to email you the bourbon that I wanted you to track down, I pulled into the Supercuts there and I'm like, man, it looks like it's empty. I walked in. There was an old guy getting a haircut. Oh, my gosh. I'm like, seriously, it's like the end of the goddamn day on a Friday. You have all your entire – I mean, I know your time's, you know, short.
Right.
But get out of my way.
Yeah.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah.
So – but – I don't know. I mean, so my question to you is there like a place in Livermore or not in San Jose in your neighborhood
right
that's like the hole in the wall
bar? What you're getting at. Antipasto's Deli.
Oh, Antipasto's is pretty cool. But it's not like a dive bar.
No, it's not a dive bar, but they got plenty of beer on tap.
Of course
and
they do.
Wine.
And you know them. Everybody knows your name.
And you know everybody
hey,
down there.
What's
and
going
it's
on?
Excellent, excellent Italian food. And, you know, you can get sandwiches.
Their chicken parm is to die.
Oh, my God. They got anything. Their meatball sando.
Oof.
And you do not leave there hungry. If you leave there hungry, you did something absolutely wrong.
No, that's so, great stuff.
Anyways, if you're ever in East San Jose, look up Antipasto's Deli because it
is. It's on McKee, right?
Maybe we can get them as a sponsor.
Oh, there you go. I'm sure it's an easy thing.
I've known the family for years. They're great, and they have a hell of a business and killing it. And, I mean, you go in there, and it's very. I mean, it's awesome.
Good stuff.
It's just awesome. It is a deli like you would find in Italy. And but yeah, all the locals go there, obviously. And then Thursday's the locals' night. Hang out there.
Oh, it
there
is?
And,
okay. Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
You know, of course, because you're
I've never been
local.
There at night. I've only
you're
gone there for lunch. I'm not a local.
That's on a need
I'm not allowed.
Basis.
I'm not allowed.
All right. So let's, now that we're talking about food, let's talk about some alcohol.
Yeah, let's talk about
Did you know?
Oh, yeah. What are we drinking?
Wait a minute.
Okay.
Pump the brakes over there. Did you know that it is National Bourbon Heritage Month?
I did not.
September is National Heritage Bourbon Month. And here's let me tell you a little bit about this because our crack
us.
Research team got on this.
Well, it wasn't Lorenzo because
he's on vacation.
Fucker.
So, This is awesome. I'm going to read this right off of Wikipedia. You can't go wrong with Wikipedia. This is not fake news right here.
No fake news on
National Bourbon Heritage Month is an observance in the United States that calls for celebration of bourbon as America's quote unquote native spirit.
Well, hey, there you go.
I mean, that sums it up right there. During the month of September, August 2nd, 2007, the U.S. Senate declared September 2007 as National Bourbon Heritage Month.
So this is legit. This is a government deal.
The U.S. Senate's involved behind all this. The bill, which was sponsored by a Republican senator, Jim
of course.
Bunning of Kentucky, of course.
Well, yeah.
Passed by unanimous consent.
Unanimous.
Sorry. Unanimous. I've had a little bit to drink. The resolution calls for consumers who enjoy bourbon to do so responsibly and in moderation.
Well, if you're at a campfire, do you know moderation required?
The bill reinforces the 1964 Act of Congress that declared bourbon, quote, is America's native spirit. Unquote, by celebrating the family heritage, tradition, and deep-rooted legacy that the bourbon industry contributes to the United States.
Well, hot damn.
God bless America.
That's like apple pie right there.
I mean, you're almost un-American if you're not drinking bourbon in the month of September is what I'm reading out of this.
Everybody's a communist if they're not drinking bourbon.
So, drink up.
Cheers.
Our fellow listeners.
Hold on.
Wheeling Wine and Whiskey listeners, and I have a brand new bourbon to talk about.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that.
Let's talk about this. Let me reach over and grab this bottle here. So,
woo!
It is a sexy bottle. It's an old school looking.
It's like something you see in an apothecary.
A who?
A pharmacy.
What'd you call it, though?
Apothecary.
Okay. Explain yourself.
Wow, it's synonymous.
Well, of course, but where does that name come from? I never heard that before.
I consider myself pretty well educated. My grandfather was a pharmacist, and he called it an apothecary.
Okay,
just saying. But it looks like it's something you see in a.
Well, it looks like a medicinal bottle.
Apothecary.
Do I need to wiki this right now?
Maybe.
Apparently, look at Chris with his propeller hat dropping knowledge on us here.
A big word. That's like four syllables.
It's a four syllables. And you in your state of
I don't have to drive anywhere.
No, you don't, and you're showing it.
My bedroom's across the hallway.
Apothecary. Okay, let's go back to our bourbon of the week here. And it is Bibb and Tucker.
Mm.
Bibb and Tucker. And so it's a cool bottle. It is a very dark brown bottle that has raised lettering of the Bibb and Tucker. And it's got a real cork.
It's awesome.
And before I read the description of it, let me just tell you a little bit. I want to hear your description, but it's aged for 6 years.
It's
a small batch bourbon whiskey, yes. And it's 46% alcohol.
So 90 proof.
92 proof.
Plus or minus.
Yeah, plus or minus. 92 proof. So it's a good one.
It's awesome.
So talk about it, Chris. I always like to get your opinion first because you have a very, and this should be entertaining with your state.
So it's a little oaky, and I'm detecting chocolate. It's
milk
a little
chocolate, dark chocolate. What kind of chocolate?
Dark chocolate. It's a little edgy.
Edgy meaning?
It's got a bite.
Okay. Back end overall.
Hold on.
Oh, yep. Take another sip.
In the middle. Really? But it's I like it. I really do. I think it. And, oh.
What?
What else? A little bit of citrus right there.
Having an epiphany.
When we first opened the bottle a couple hours ago, I definitely was getting but pretty loud chocolate hit.
Okay.
And but definitely some oak, not much smoke, hardly any smoke at all in my mind. But definitely just caught some citrus. So it's good with a little bit of a bite, but not bad. And now we're drinking this over a rock.
Yeah, a whiskey ball.
A whiskey ball. And it's good. It's actually very good.
So where would you rank this on the other whiskeys that we've tried in the past? Your Sauvignon Blanc, Basil Hayden, of course, our I'm going to call it the Old Testament now of Old Elk.
That's our
go-to.
Standard.
That's our go-to. So, and some of these other ones that are, that we've tried. Now, of course, you can't compare it to the Scotch.
You said something that woke my phone up. That was weird.
I don't know. I think you need to check yourself before you wreck yourself over there.
So, where would it stand?
In your opinion.
Take your time. I'm not sure it's as good as Old Elk at this point. It's better than Basil Hayden.
Okay.
Because it's just got more body.
It's got a unique flavor.
But it still doesn't. What's the Hoshentagen?
Hoshentagen, that's a good one. Oshintoshin. That's a Scotch, though.
But that's a Scotch.
That's a Scotch, but still a whiskey.
But I mean, this definitely ranks. I don't know if I'm going to rush out and buy a bottle.
Oh, really?
I still need to finish my homework assignment. But
your homework assignment is way past due.
I know. I'm getting an F. It's very good. It's a good pick. I want to try those. Those whiskeys that I was emailing you earlier yesterday, but I'm gonna have to start digging into the. But this is good.
Okay,
I think it's good. It's not. Like I said, I'm not gonna rush out and buy it.
Okay, interesting. I like it. I like it a lot. It is a unique flavored bourbon. Okay, so the mash bill. So this is the 70% corn.
Well, I see that.
Right? So we know it's 51% corn minimum and got to be aged in a, charred American oak, white oak barrels to be a bourbon. But 70% corn, so heavy on the corn, 26% rye, 4% malted barley. Okay? Price on this bad boy is right in the $50 range. So it's you know, basically $5-6 more than the old elk.
Well, if I had Jason money.
Oh, gosh. Not even close. Yeah, if I had your money, I'd throw my money away. So it's a double distillation process.
Cool.
So, you know, an aged in American, charred American oak barrels. So
are they virgin oak barrels?
Of course they are.
Okay.
You don't want to impart any flavors from some,
unknowns.
Okay, so let's get, this is a great description of this, and I
educate us, Mr.
Again, Barry. Sometimes I read some of the descriptors and I go, that I don't even taste what they're saying right here. But actually this, I do taste this, and you're going to get a kick out of this one.
I hope it matches up with what I found.
Yes, maybe.
No, not
okay,
at all.
Okay, you ready?
Let's have it.
Okay, so, of course, this is from Tennessee. So just to reinforce that it is from God's bourbon country here.
We're going to go there soon.
So you ready? Aromas of vanilla.
Okay.
Freshly mowed grass and leather-bound books.
What the hell?
No, isn't that
great?
Are
you making that up?
Nope.
Wait, what the fuck? Wait a minute.
You're getting that's the vanilla.
Freshly mowed grass?
Freshly mowed grass and leather-bound books.
Wait, now, let's back the bus up. So this is, I don't know if our listeners have figured this out yet, but Jason and I work in the green industry. And Jason's a retired golf course superintendent.
I am?
And I am a golf course superintendent. So I'm announcing what I do for a living. I know grass. I don't – I'm sorry. I'm not – hold on.
Chestnuts and grass. I'm reading a lot of different descriptors here, and they all mention grass.
I smell grass every day, and okay, whatever. I don't detect it.
All right. To continue here, notes of sweet fruit, vanilla beans, caramel, and dried apricots dominate the palate. But wait, there's more.
No chocolate? There better be chocolate.
And they are complemented by a subtle touch of ginger, spice. This is great. I really want to meet some people, the people that write this stuff.
I do too, because there's no chocolate yet.
The finish is complex and lingers, which I would agree. It starts off very smooth. I get the vanilla right there. I'm getting the leather-bound books. I'm not getting the grass.
I'm not getting the leather-bound.
It's complemented by the ginger spice, but the finish is complex and lingers.
I've never looked at a book and say, I wish I could drink that.
With a hint of chestnuts and corn. I love it. Love it. Anyways, I really like this one.
Okay.
I love the bottle. It's definitely got some sexy shelf appeal.
It's a cool bottle.
It is a very cool bottle. And when I taste it, as soon as you tasted it for the first time, you were like, hey, this is pretty good.
It is good. I'm not saying it's not good.
So, this website, I love this website. That's called Breaking Bourbon. If you're a bourbon fan, check out their website. They do a wonderful job on explaining all these different bourbons they try.
Breaking Bourbon?
Breaking Bad. It's got to be a spinoff of that, right?
One of the greatest shows ever.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
So, they are saying it's kind of a like it or not. That you sort of like it or you sort of hate it.
I don't hate it.
Yeah, and I don't think it's that definitive. I mean, it's kind of a smooth ride. I do love the vanilla flavor. Definitely getting some caramel action going on, but the grass I'm not getting. But it does say grass on here. It says it on this other descriptor that I'm reading.
Is that like California sensimilla and Kentucky bluegrass? Maybe
freshly mowed grass. But the leather-bound books, I definitely get the old school leatherliness.
No,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I need another sip here just to reinforce.
Yeah, maybe. Your ball is melting.
But it is.
Just saying.
It is. But Bibb and Tucker, I'm liking it. I'm happy with the purchase. Still waiting for Chris to step up to the plate here and bring a non-mainstream bourbon to the table.
It'll happen.
Okay, let's do it. Buy it before you buy your axles and you're out of money.
I'm already out of money.
Oh, yeah, right. You're just out of money in your pocket right now.
We're moving.
Yeah?
Got to buy a house where I can park my camper.
Are we done? Is the podcast going to be over with? You're moving away?
No, I'm moving. Oh, Skype's a wonderful thing.
No,
I'm not moving. Okay. It's all good. I don't want to leave Livermore. I love all the wineries right in my backyard.
Yeah, it's hard to. Yeah, this is a great town.
Really is. Good restaurants. And I mean, yeah, I'm not going to get into that political BS right now. But anyway. So,
oh, that's good.
Good, you know, it's a good bourbon. I like the purchase. Like I said, I'm not gonna.
Well, of course, because you didn't buy it.
I'm not gonna. I don't know that I'm gonna, you know, go out and buy a bottle myself. The Old Elk, I like it. I like Jefferson's. That's pretty fantastic.
I like it a lot.
I like Basil Hayden's. I've got quite the collection developing of my own here.
Yes.
So.
No, that's good. So, anyways, you know, this been, if nothing else about this podcast, I've gotten to try, or it's forced me, it's put the hand behind my back, twisting my arm to try all these different bourbons and give me an excuse to try all these different bourbons. Yeah, so,
you need one of those.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been tough. But I do it for the people of the podcast. And thank you all for listening. We are grassroots. We are building. We are getting, the community is getting stronger with Wine and Whiskey, and it's fun. It has brought joy to my life, and love it.
Giving him purpose.
Love it. So
real quick, before we begin the process of wrapping up for this podcast,
okay.
I did have a little bit of back and forth with Max from Mike and Max.
Oh, yeah. Mike and Max's off-road podcast. Off-road
podcast.
Mike's been off gallivanting in Moab, that bastard. He's been off
the grid. And,
he hasn't been off the grid. He's been posting a ton on I've been living vicariously through him.
Hasn't been on the text stream.
Oh, yeah.
But Max texted me today and was asking questions about the bourbon, you know, how it should be stored. And I'm no expert, but my experience is the best way to store it is at room temperature. I know that during the Barrett Lake trip last week, Jimmy was transporting the Hidiki.
I love it. You guys butcher the shit out of this. Go ahead.
Hibiki. In ice water. Or
I think
ice.
They called it Hitachi.
Hitachi.
I was dying laughing listening
to this. My experience, my 51 years of experience is that.
You're 51?
I'm 51.
Holy crap, I got to find younger friends.
Is that the best way to drink bourbon is at room temperature and until you pour it. And then
To
store it. Correct. To drink it on a rock is the best. At least that's the way I like it.
Well, and it is all personal preference, right? So storage-wise, I would say, you know, you definitely don't want to store it cold. It doesn't need to be. It's a distilled liquor. But you don't want to be in you know, sitting in your kitchen window where it's getting hammered by the sun. So you want it in some area where it's, you know, a cooler, dry climate. Yeah, room temperature is going to be fine as long as it's not in direct sunlight.
Well, isn't that why the glasses, I mean, so wine bottles are dark for a reason.
Well, yeah, wine's a whole other animal, but yes, that's why the glass could be dark, so sunlight's not going to affect it as much. But yeah, wine likes to be at 55 degrees, 70% humidity. That is the optimum storage of vino. Now, you could store it at room temperature.
Didn't suck though.
As long as the temperature doesn't fluctuate much. You know, so there's that window for wine where it's, you know, 55 right. to 65. I mean, 70s, like, okay, but it's going to age faster. The warmer that the wine is, the faster it's going to age.
And after it's been open, forget it.
Oh, when it's open, you need to drink it. I mean, unless you're hitting it with argon or some inert gas, there's the vacuum pump that helps. You got to keep the oxygen off of it because it oxidizes quickly.
I had a bottle of, I can't remember what it was, but it might have been a DeRose wine sitting on the counter in my kitchen. I opened it a week.
Yeah.
Then maybe it might have been almost 2 weeks. I went back to it. I recorked it just to sit.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to finish the whole thing in one night.
Why not?
Because I don't do that by myself. My wife doesn't help me with this. Anyway, I went back. I said, I got to finish that bottle. I opened it up and I poured a glass and I was like, that was no bueno. Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's some wines that benefit of being open for like 5-6 hours, believe it or not. You know, they need that oxygen to breathe life back into them, per se. But, any wine that's usually left open overnight or just corked typically is going to go
24 to 48. I had to pour that out. It was
done. Vacuum pumpers, that's what I use because, I don't drink a whole bottle as much as I try. In an evening, I'll have a glass, maybe two, and hit it with the vacuum cork stopper, the rubber stopper. And then you suck the oxygen out. You're not putting inert gas in, which would be a lot better. I could talk hours on this. There's that.
What do you think of those systems that's like they pierce the cork and through a glass?
So that's what I was just going to say. So then there's one of the great new, it's fairly new, item that came out to the wine market is the, Corvin.
Mm-hmm.
Corvin. Corvin.
Yeah.
So they got different models. They're a little pricey, but they have these little argon gas capsules that go in.
Right.
And so you can pierce the cork without even opening the bottle.
Okay.
Okay. So a needle pierces the cork and dispenses it injects argon into the wine bottle and it forces the wine out.
Okay.
Okay. The hole, and so you can sample bottles of wine, and in theory, you can remove this, and the wine's totally sealed back up. So you can sample bottles of wine. Exactly. Exactly. And it replaced the wine with argon, which is an inert gas, which is not going to oxidize the wine.
Right.
And so. I haven't personally, I've seen them, I've used them, but I don't personally own one because they're damn pricey. They're a couple hundred bucks. I think you can get them for like $180 on Amazon, the beginning model. They go all the way up to like 300 and something bucks for, I don't know, titanium or whatever.
If I had Jason money,
you keep saying that. There ain't, and that's why Jason does not have a Corvin. But anyway, so that's kind of it's a great way to go. And you can, because wine evolves in the bottle. If you are a true collector, a wine collector, you're buying a case or two of these ideal wines at a time.
Right.
And then what you're doing is you're opening a bottle and going, no, it's not there yet, you know, and then you wait 5, 6, 8 months, 10 months, a year, and open up another bottle. And then you go, oh, yeah, this is much better. It's cyclical. I mean, I've had wines that go and they hit their peak and you taste them. And you're like, oh, my God, best wine ever. And then you open up the same bottle from that case, a year or two later, and then it degraded a little bit. But then it could come back. So
you're saying it goes up and then
it
down,
can't. Yes, it can be totally cyclical. So wine will do that, but distilled spirits will not.
Correct.
So wine, we'll talk about your wine later because that's a pretty special bottle of wine that you opened up in 2006 this evening. That's great. I mean, that's a 13-year-old bottle, and I don't know. If it gets any better, it's going to be fan-frickin-tastic, but it was damn good right now. So you know, but a distilled spirit, you got like this 6-year-old bourbon, for example, this Bibb and Tucker, it's always going to be a 6-year-old spirit.
Correct.
12 years from now, it's still going to be 6 years old.
Correct.
28 years from now, it's still going to be 6-year-old. So it's not going to age. It's not going to age in the bottle like a bottle of wine. It's not a living entity like wine is. And that's what's super cool about wine. So anyways, that's why it's critical, more critical for temperature control in wine storage and keeping it out of sunlight, and keeping the corks wet by keeping the bottles laying on their side. Again, here you are with a distilled spirit. They can be stored upright as long as they're out of the sun and they're not hitting huge temperature spikes, ultra low or ultra high, you're going to be fine. So,
I could speak
20 podcasts on all this stuff, but that's hitting the high notes.
This is the educational thing. But I mean, like last night in a rare event, I actually opened, I opened a bottle of wine last night. It was a 2015 Zin.
15 Zin, okay. Your Zins.
That's the Zin that I'm not going to name the winery.
Okay.
But that's one of the Zins that I carried to Meadow.
Okay.
And I never returned it back to the wine cellar.
Okay.
It was in the box and it was upright.
Okay.
So when I uncorked it last night, the cork disintegrated.
And was it sitting in your hot camper the whole time?
No. It was in the house.
Okay.
But it was still okay. It wasn't, I don't think it was as good as it could have been because the cork was dry.
Well, okay. So, because it was upright, so that's part of the problem. And then cork quality, there's so many different variations of cork quality.
Right.
And, you know, there's some wineries that use lower grade cork quality because their wines are designed to be drank now.
From a winery that we all know and love.
Okay. Well, no, that's fine. And I've had high-end wines where the cork was bad, it leaked, or you get cork taint.
I've had corked wines.
Yeah.
But this, I mean, again, I'm glad I opened the bottle and I drank it when I did. Because
it smells like wet newspaper. It's bad.
Oh, the cork. No,
yeah.
I didn't smell the cork.
If the cork
disintegrated when I was removing it. And it was.
That's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, but when I started drinking the wine, it was definitely. I don't think the wine was as ideal as it should have been.
Yeah, well, that's probably. It was compromised at some point.
So, but. I agree that you definitely need to manage your wine or control your wine better.
So, okay, now you got me going on two more things here. So, talking about cork. So, you buy a nice bottle of wine, okay, at a winery. You're out wine tasting all day. You leave it in the trunk of your car.
And, oh, God.
You know, it gets crazy hot cooked in the back of your car.
Yeah.
You know, over 100 degrees. That wine's not going to like that. Not happy. So, it happens a lot.
Especially you know, here if I'm going,
yeah, exactly. If I'm going wine tasting and I know I'm going to be buying wine, I'm bringing, you know, coolers with me to throw some ice packs in.
Sure.
It's better to have it cold than too hot. And then the second thing that you alluded to there is actually the motion of the wine. I mean, actually getting jarred around on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things some of the wine purist will never buy an expensive bottle of wine on a cruise ship because there's too much movement.
Have you been on cruises?
I've been on several cruises. I love cruises.
I love cruises. The only cruise I've ever been on where the ship was rocking and rolling was the last one I went on, which was a Carnival out of the booze cruise.
The booze cruise that goes out of Long Beach.
Long Beach, yes.
Yeah, Long Beach
down to Ensenada.
Yeah, you go to Ensenada. You go to the island there. Go ahead. I want to see where you're at. Come on, you know it.
Shit.
The wine mixer. Catalina. Yes. So the wine mixer on Catalina.
Catalina's cool.
Catalina's very cool. You're driving around in golf carts. We're getting off on so many goddamn tangents tonight.
Dude, those golf carts, the brakes suck.
Oh, they're, those hills. So Tom and I have a picture next a golf cart tow truck. It was a golf cart that's set up to tow golf carts. It's freaking awesome. Yeah.
Wow.
I wanted to take that thing for a spin. And then Ensenada,
Ensenada's Ensenada. A shithole.
Good luck, players. Yeah. But anyways, great. Yeah, good old Carnival. That's a good bang for the buck. You can't beat it.
No, you can't. We got to do that. We got to do that cruise.
Well, somebody's Jesse's birthday is coming up on that cruise in October. Those are the things about storage, but yeah, more critical with wine than distilled liquor.
Cruise ships don't really move around that much.
Dude, I've been on some wicked cruise ship with like waves crashing over the bow of the boat and people getting sick everywhere.
That ain't like driving down Meadow Lake Road with a bunch
of that's true too. Everywhere. Yeah. I mean, all that stuff, just jarring motion is not good.
I don't know. All right. Anyway.
So there you go. So store your wine in a quiet environment.
That doesn't move.
55 degrees, 70% humidity, out of the sunlight, and your wine's going to be very happy in that environment and age for a very long time.
And drink it and enjoy it.
Well, yeah, and that's it. And you got to enjoy it. And California wines, I mean, are legitimately made to be drank now. I mean, there's like this one we're drinking tonight could age 10, 12, 15 years, no problem. Obviously, it's a 13-year-old right now. Still underaged, but that's okay with the Snail Trail crew, apparently. But yeah, so
Jesus,
drinking the 15-year-old scotch.
You want to talk about this one? This is a pretty good bottle.
That's a damn good bottle. All right, so we covered so many different topics tonight.
It's been fun.
Oh, it's been fun. Yeah, just rambling on this Saturday evening, enjoying some damn good wine
and bourbon.
The Bibb and Tucker bourbon, which I'd go out and buy another bottle. Chris wouldn't, apparently, but he didn't have to buy this one. So
I'm going
to
buy more Basil Hayden.
Yeah, he likes a Sauvignon Blanc of
you said bourbons. You saw a Jefferson that was interesting.
Yeah, well, there's like five or six different Jeffersons that were on the shelf when I was buying this Bibb and Tucker. So Total Wine & More had their own private bottling. And it was right there in that $40-$50 range. And I don't know. Of course, they were touting it because it's their you know, brand, but or bottled exclusively for them. But if it came from Jefferson, I can't doubt it.
I'm going to pop over to Pleasanton and check it out.
You need to purchase some.
I'm going
to
get the Japanese and I'm going to get the
numerous bourbons.
Well, we got a couple trips coming up, so
I know. So safety clinic's coming up. So you've got 1 week right now. Six full days.
I should bring my camper home tomorrow.
6 full days to impress me with a bourbon. Okay? Because I've impressed you with all these different bourbons, whiskeys, 21-year-old scotch. I mean,
don't no pressure.
No pressure at all. But, you know, Jimmy had to cover your
Hideki,
your Japanese whiskey that you were supposed to get 22 podcasts ago.
Hibachi.
The hibachi. Hook up some steaks on the Hibiki. Anyway, so, well, Chris, is, obviously, you could tell he's faded.
No, I'm good. I'm good for another 17 or 18 hours.
You're good, all right. So, safety clinic's coming up, so you need to sober up before the safety clinic.
Safety clinic sold out.
And it's sold out, Hollister Hills, next weekend. Looking forward to it.
It'll be good.
Always a good time teaching the students and hearing their questions, and it's awesome. A lot of fun. And then getting ready for Oktoberfest.
Which is second weekend of October.
Second weekend of October. So be up there off of Highway 4.
Yeah.
Running Slick Rock, Deer Valley Trail.
I'm looking for
it. Always a great trip. Time. So I'm just looking forward to documenting your Jeep, the YJ.
I got mad driving skills.
I want to see it again because I've kind of forgot it's been so long.
It's going to be fun.
You make a rear.
You know, if Andy's there and he hears that, he's going to be like, dude, your lockers are on? And I'm going to be like, Andy, really?
That's Raggedy Ann and Andy? Does he listen to our podcast?
I don't know. He should.
He should.
But he busted my balls last year when I he was taking pictures of me coming up on Bald Mountain at down at you know near Huntington
Lake. Yes,
and he
near Swamp Lake and Doozy Trail.
I you know it's like dude lockers really.
Hey,
like, dude, I didn't put them in there just to have them there.
Exactly. If I'm spending the money on air lockers, I'm using those suckers, man.
I'm using them, man.
So, oh, boy.
Never going to not use them. I mean, it's like I have no pride. I mean, like I said, I'll take the hook, too. If I get to a point where it's like.
You know what's going to be impressive is Oktoberfest if you drive up the Windchill on Slick Rock without getting a hook.
I'm going to.
And I want to see it. I honestly want to see it.
On my 33s, bitch.
But guess who's going to be at the top of the hill waiting for you with a hook? Yours truly.
And your CJ5.
I will. I will be in the 5.
Because the 5 is legal.
It's got a license plate.
All right.
Well, are you done? You're done. You're done on many different levels.
I gotta work in the morning. And well, I gotta get up at 3:45 a.m.
Good luck with that.
I'm a stud. I'll do it.
Okay.
No problem. Actually,
professional. PRO.
I'm a trained professional.
Professional.
Woohoo!
All right, let's wrap up this 14-hour podcast here.
How do you get a hold of us?
Thanks for listening. They already know.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do. These are loyal listeners now that have hung in this long because a lot of people would have turned this podcast off by
now. Like
no. They're driving in their car to work right now going, are you freaking kidding me? Wrap up this podcast. You've been trying to wrap it up for a half an hour. Just let it go.
All right.
Okay, here we go. Are we going to wrap it up?
Do it.
Okay.
Close it
out. I'm done.
This is Chris with Wheeling Wine and Whiskey. Follow us on the Instagram at Wheeling Wine and Whiskey. Our email is chris@wheelingwineandwhiskey.com or jason@wheelingwineandwhiskey.com.
And the gram?
Our website. I did the gram.
No, you did the website.
Did I?
Yeah.
The gram is Wheeling Wine and Whiskey.
There you go. You got them all. You did good.
There it is.
Very
woo-hoo!
Good. Good job.
I get the applause. Lorenzo's not here to keep us in line.
No,
so we're out of
control. Definitely we go off the rails when Lorenzo's not here. He actually does. He has actually worth his weight.
He keeps us in line. But anyway, I'm pretty drunk, so there it is.
Whoop! There it is.
And we're out.